Fire me up.
The name of this message is Salt of the Earth. If we could turn to Matthew 13. Salt of the Earth. I'm sorry, Matthew 5 and verse 13. You know, Jesus said you're the salt of the earth. Well, I'm going to ask you, are you? Are you really salt of the earth? You know, salt is not always nice. How many of y'all have rubbed salt on your skin? It's kind of like sand. It's rough. Salt is not smooth unless it's dissolved in water. And even then, it's kind of that salty taste is not always the most pleasant taste that you'll ever have. But you see, God called you to be the salt of the earth. And if you can't be salt, how can you expect folks out there that don't know the truth to be salt? Matthew 5, verse 13. If you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Have you lost your saltiness? Did you ever have saltiness? Do you even know what saltiness is? You see, you were called to be the salt of the earth, not the smooth of the earth. You weren't called to fit in and go along. Salt doesn't fit in and go along. Salt makes a difference. When you put salt on food, you can taste it. Amen? We love salt in our food. I've eaten salt without food. My dad had high blood pressure growing up. We were never allowed to have salt on the property. So my wife had to reintroduce me to salt. Hey, when his blood pressure is 300 plus over 200 plus, you don't have any salt, okay? Some of y'all don't know what that's like, but I mean, there ain't no such thing as salt. So I grew up not knowing what salt tasted like. We just didn't have salt. Salt wasn't allowed. But then when you put salt on the food, it tastes a little better, doesn't it? You're the salt of the earth. And if your presence wasn't here on earth, this earth wouldn't taste good enough for God to keep fooling with it. You are the salt among the people. You're what makes it pleasing in God's sight. We're not going to turn there, but in the book of Leviticus, God says, salt my offering. Don't offer anything to me on my altar that hasn't been salted first. Anything that's going to be made holy to God has to be salted. As a matter of fact, I had a friend that wanted to remake the holy anointing oil. Those ingredients won't combine. But there's a little phrase in the old King James that says, mix this together under the art of the apothecary. And he could never find out what that was until finally he came across an old black pharmacist down in Texas. And he said, son, do you know what that... Oh, I'm feeling... Do you know what that means, the art of the apothecary? He said, no, we've been trying to find out for years. He said, you got to put a little salt in it. And when you put salt in the ingredients, they combine to either make the incense or the oil. You gotta salt it or it doesn't work. And you are the salt of the earth. It's you, the Torah observant brethren, that's keeping God interested and active in the affairs of this world. And when you're taken out, that's when the end comes. Because without the salt, there's nothing here for Him. But what if you lose your saltiness? You can't be restored back. It says, when you reject the Lord Jesus, you cannot be restored to repentance again because you trample the blood of the covenant underfoot and you open Him to public shame. Now, the Lord had a lot to say about salt. Salt makes things taste good. We talked about that. Salt is an antiseptic. They talked about putting salt in the wounds. We think, oh, that burns. Yeah, but they put salt in the wounds to keep them from getting festering sores and to keep them from developing staph infections. You salted the wounds. The Lord God Almighty talked about Israel. And He talked about when Israel was born, He said, nobody rubbed you with salt. They rubbed the infants with salt to make sure they didn't get any infections after they came out of the womb. Salt is an antiseptic. We also know salt is a preservative. Before in the modern days of canning and before the modern days of refrigeration, they used to salt the food to make it preserve and last. You, if you are a Torah observant, Spirit-filled brother, you are the salt of the earth. You're what preserves. You're what counteracts the effects of the devil and the effects of sin. Your presence shouldn't be salty enough that people don't want to sin when you're around. Are you salty? You know, it takes your law keeping and your Sabbath observance, your following the dietary laws, the holy days, tithing, to make it all work. Because when you lose your saltiness, it can't be restored again. You're in the last days. There's not going to be another generation rise up after you. Oh, children will be born all the way to the time of the end. There's not going to be another set of folks coming behind us. He said, when you see these signs, that generation will not pass away. And so we've looked for what sign that is, haven't we? The old timers said it was World War I. But that generation's about gone, is it not? Few of them left, very few. But we missed the verse before it. It says, when you see the leaves on the fig tree, that generation will not pass away. Israel was born as a nation in 1948. Israel is the fig tree. So from the time of the budding of the leaves on the fig tree, what did he say? You know summer's near. It's knocking right at the door. That's 60 years ago this May. That's 60 years ago this coming May. I don't remember the exact day on the Hebrew calendar anymore, even though they told us last year. It was a really prophetic event last year. You are at the very door of the end time events. Right, that was what that was. Yeah, and it was during the Perry Stone Conference last year. That was so prophetic. Look, man, how much time do you think you got? 2 years? 3 years? 5 years? Will it be Passover? He'll come on a holy day. Are you ready for the Lord to return on Passover next weekend? Are you ready? If the Lord comes back at Passover, are you going to be taken or are you going to be left? Will you make the cut this holy day season? Oh, wow. Are you salty enough to be removed out of here? You know, the salt of the ancient Holy Land was very poor quality, and exposure to air made it lose its saltiness. See, we don't know that. He's talking to people about something they knew in their daily life. Have you been exposed to the air enough that you've lost your saltiness and you're only fit to be trodden underfoot? That's a euphemism for going into tribulation. Have you lost your saltiness? Are you still salty? Are you still living the way the Bible tells you to live? Are you still doing the things that the Bible tells you to do? Are you still on fire for God? Because if you lose that saltiness, he asks, how can you be made salty again? Let's go to Mark chapter 9. This is the time of the Passover. This is the time to take stock of your saltiness. Are you salty enough? Now, saltiness is not a euphemism for orneriness, okay? Saltiness is not a euphemism for orneriness. You see, it's your righteousness. When you're around people, do they find they have to choke back on their foul language? Or are you just rolling on in with them? When folks are talking about being immoral, do they got to choke that back when you show up because they know they don't want to say that around you? Or are they just comfortable to talk about the wicked things they do when you're there? How salty are you? Does your behavior matter around other people? When you're with the unbeliever and the heathen, your presence, does it make a difference with them or you just wanted a gang? Come on now, this is salt. This is the effect of salt. I looked this up in three commentaries and they all said the same thing. The behavior of a serious on fire, salted Christian ought to shut down the bad behavior of the wicked when you show up. They ought to know there's a difference with you. They ought to know they can't be themselves around you. They ought to know they got to clean up their act because you showed up. That's being salty. If not, you've lost your saltiness. If not, how are you going to restore your saltiness? Mark 9, verse 49. Everyone will be salted with fire. everyone will be salted with fire. Well, what fire are you going to be salted with? Because everybody's going to be salted with fire. Are you going to be salted with the fire of trials? Are you going to be salted with the fire of the Holy Ghost? Or are you going to be salted with the fire in the tribulation? Which fire are you going to be salted with? He said, everybody is going to be salted with fire. You've got a choice this day which salt you're going to be fired with. Is it going to be trials? Is it going to be the Holy Spirit? Is it going to be maybe both of them? Producing in you the godly, righteous character of the Lord Jesus in your heart? Or are you going to be salted into tribulation? You can't get on fire for Him now, so you just wait and learn why you got to get on fire for Him in the tribulation when they're chasing you down like a wild animal, hunting you down to be killed. Look, you got a time to be salted with the fire of the Holy Spirit today. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You can have it today. It says today if you hear His voice. It doesn't say tomorrow if you hear His voice. There may not be a tomorrow on the schedule. But it said today if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Today you got the opportunity to become salty for God. Today you got the opportunity to be on fire for your Jesus. Today you got the opportunity to be ready for Passover. Today. Tomorrow may not be on your schedule. Any one of us can drive by this parking lot and get killed on Highland Avenue. Just like that. You can go out here on the bypass. There are wrecks every day on the bypass. Any one of us might not be on the schedule for tomorrow. You better make your calling and election sure today while it's still called today. Verse 50. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He's asking you again. Look, the Lord doesn't repeat Himself to hear Himself talk. When He repeats something, it's because you need to pay double attention. He asks you, if you lose your saltiness, how are you going to be made salty again? Wow. He's asking you that question. I'm not. I have to deal with my own saltiness. From the comments I get, I'm pretty salty. Maybe ornery on top of it. How are you going to be made salty? Then He says, have salt within yourself. Have salt within yourself. That means you have a choice to make about how salty you're going to be. You've got a choice to make about how much you're going to live by God's laws and commandments. You've got a choice about how much of His Spirit you're going to let Him put in you. I don't know about you, but I've never met any amount of His Spirit I didn't like. I don't know about you, but I've never come across anything in the Holy Ghost that I didn't just absolutely fall in love with. There is no amount of Him living in me that I want to reject. No, that's enough of you, Lord. I don't want no more. I ain't never come to that place. Man, it's filled me up till it's coming out at the seams. It's filled me up until it's people feeling out in the audience. It's filled me up, Lord, until I can't take it no more and just pour it on in some more because I just got to have it. That's being salty. That's having salt within yourselves and be at peace with one another. How are you going to have shalom with one another? Salt irritates. But salt is quite happy with other salt. Come on, y'all. Salt don't irritate in the salt shaker. Salt don't irritate in the salt drum. Salt is happy with salt. There's shalom with other salt. Huh? When you get around other believers that are on fire for God, when you get around other believers that are full of His Spirit, living for Him, you find shalom in that company, don't you? It's them other rascals that you got irritated with. It's them other rascals that you're irritating the fire out of them. You know, when you're around rascals, they ought to be so irritated they can't hardly stand to have you in the house. Then you know you're getting right. Huh? Come on now. I used to be a rascal. And none of my rascally friends like to have me around anymore. Oh, they don't like it one bit. Why? Oh, I will reminisce about some old times, but they know. They know it's coming. The story old Shosa's testimony is going to come. They know as sure as we get to reminiscing good and they enjoy them old times, oh, he's going to put it on me. I know he is. Maybe we ought to leave now before it gets started, man. The old boy gets wound up. We can't hardly shut him down later. He'll be preaching in a minute. Yeah, I will. I can promise you, we might reminisce for a minute, but there's going to be some preaching to follow. Amen? Because I am salty now, and my salt has got to irritate them old wounds. That old salt has got to get out there and let you know that God is still alive on planet Earth. He still does things in the life of men, and your time might be today. Believe me, the Lord didn't bring me to your rascally house just to hear about, reminisce about old times. He brought it because you need to hear it one more time. Why is that? Because you didn't hear it none of the first times it came out. You didn't get saved when Shelsey brought his testimony the first time about living right for God. You're still living in your sins. How about you? Are you salty? Are you salty? Are you on fire for God? Does everybody that knows you know, oh, she's on fire for God. Leave her alone. Do they know that about you? Do your old rascally friends run and hide when you show up? Do they? Or are they just happy to have you around? You make them feel comfortable. Look, John the Baptist wore a girdle of leather and ate wild locust and honey and called all those people a brood of vipers. He didn't cut them no slack, not nary a bit. When the Pharisees came out to Jesus, he never gave them a nice answer. He was salty. Matter of fact, the disciples said, Lord, if you'd have just answered smooth one time, you might have converted them. He wasn't there to convert them. He was there to rub them the wrong way. Oh. We need to have His presence living in us to make us salty. How much of His presence do you really want? Do you love the presence of the Lord Jesus? Or you just really don't want to get that close to Him? Do you want Him living in you to the point where everybody around feels it? You know, I don't know any of us yet that we walk in the mall, people start weeping in repentance. I don't know any of us walk in the mall and folks start falling down their face. Oh, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. I haven't seen that kind of revival break out with any of us yet. That means we are not salty enough. When you go shopping at JCPenney's, there ought to be a revival down on the towel aisle. Because you showed up and the power of God in you was so strong, everybody else got convicted of their sin. It ought to be when you go down to Kroger that there's a revival back at the meat counter. Why? Because you're there and you brought the presence of the Lord Jesus in there and people are convicted of their sin. We're not salty enough. We are not salty enough. Let's go to Luke 14. We have got to have salt in ourselves. We have got to have salt in ourselves. Luke 14, verse 34. Salt is good. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, that's three times the Lord has challenged every one of us. Have you lost your saltiness? Are you still salty? What good is it? What good is it? A Christian that blends into the world like a chameleon is useless to the Lord. He doesn't need anybody else blending in. He's got everybody blending in. He needs some fool like me to stand up and stand out. He needs somebody to take a strong stand for the Lord and tell the people that the Lord has come like they mean it. He's got enough cowardly Christians running to hide under the pews everywhere they go. He's got enough cowardly Christians always wanting to fit in with their friends. He needs somebody to stand up and say, I'm for the Lord. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's going to be. And I'm not backing up off of that nary one bit. He needs some Christians to stand up and be salty. Because he says if you're not, you're not fit for the manure pile. Now look, I've been a gardener for a very long time. When it ain't fit for the manure pile, it just ain't fit. You know what I'm saying? Everything can go in the manure pile. And when you can't even compost it anymore, I mean, it's totally useless. I mean, every piece of scrap garbage can be composted back into something. But when salt has lost its saltiness, it's not even fit for the manure pile. That means there is absolutely no use for it at all. Now come on now, he's talking to you. He's not talking to a lot of these people at that time. The Holy Spirit hadn't fallen on them. They were living in a form of godliness, but they denied the power. They didn't understand why they were supposed to do the Torah. The Pharisees had given them a million Mickey Mouse man-made rules of how to do this and how to do that. And you can't do this. They'd made the law onerous. What about you? Many of y'all have grown up in Torah observant church. Many of y'all have known how to keep the commandments of God in the right, proper, true way. Many of y'all have been saved and been baptized and had hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit. If you lose your saltiness, what is left? There is nothing else in the Bible after that. You're supposed to get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and live a life of saltiness unto the Lord Jesus. And if you lose that, how can you be restored again? What is left to be done? I'm telling you right now, it's the week before Passover. We need to be taking stock of ourselves. Are we salted for the Lord? Are we rolling over for the world? Are we still comfortable with the worldliness? Are we still comfortable with the way they dress and the way they talk and the junk they watch on TV and the nasty, foul stuff they listen to on the radio? Are we still comfortable with that? Are we ready to make a stand for God and get right for Him? You know, Jesus is coming to burn that wickedness up. He's coming to burn that wickedness up with fire. Have you not read in the back of Revelation He's going to destroy a third of the planet Earth with fire? And the other third is going to be destroyed with blood? Come on now, He's not trifling. This is the time to stand up and make your calling and election sure. We are at the very edge of the rescue of the saints. Are you fit to be rescued? Are you salty enough to be carried away? Are you going to have to go into tribulation and learn why you need to be on fire for God? He said, you are lukewarm, therefore I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Are you still lukewarm? When are you going to get hot? You think you're going to hear the call and have time to get hot in 30 seconds? Let me tell you something. When Saul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he heard the voice of the Lord and others just heard thunder. Paul got the God encounter and everybody else was wondering, what in the world's going on? That's the way it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. He says, I'm going to come like lightning. He's going to come like lightning. He's going to blow the shofar. If you aren't on fire for God, you're not going to hear nothing but maybe a little thunder. And it'll be over that fast. He said, the twinkling of an eye. Eye twinkles in 10,000ths of a second. Yeah, you're going to catch that. Sure you are. 10,000ths of a second. Yeah. In other words, if you ain't on fire for God right now, you got a problem. You got a problem. This is no time to be lukewarm. This is no time to be playing church. This is no time. Look, it ain't going to save you because you show up at somebody's church on Sabbath. It's only going to save you if you're red hot on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not coming to bring a cold dead bride. He's coming to get a hot, passion on fire bride. He's coming to get folks that want to be intimate with Him in the Spirit of the living God every week. He's not coming for folks that just want to play clappy happy church. You've got to be salty, man. We've got to be salty. We've got to be salty for the Lord God. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. Does exposure to the air take away your saltiness? Does exposure to the air take away your saltiness? Does exposure to the things of the world make you less on fire for God? Does getting around all your buds at school, does that make you less on fire for God? Does that tamp down the flames of your love? Does that make you less passionate because you want to fit in? Look, wanting to fit in is what got me to be a drug addict. Wanting to fit in is going to take you someplace you don't want to go. It's going to do things to you you don't want done. And in the end result, it's going to be you're going to miss the return of Jesus and you're going to have to wait for Him through the tribulation. And that's definitely someplace you don't want to go. Ephesians 2, verse 2. We used to live like that when we followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the children of disobedience. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. Does exposure to his world, does exposure to his people, does exposure to his stuff on TV and on the radio, does that take away your saltiness like the salt of Canaan? Are you poor quality salt that air takes away the savor out of you? You know, we have better quality salt nowadays. We have pure sodium chloride. You can leave it out all day long. It doesn't do a thing to it. That's the kind of Christians we need to be. Salty Christians. Pure sodium chloride Christians. We can be left out in the air all day long and it doesn't change a thing. Because we know who we are. We know we're saved by grace. We know we're living in righteousness. We know we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And ain't no amount of Satan's world going to take anything out of us. We're on fire for God. We're looking for Him to come back. Oh devil, you can bring on what you're going to bring on. But I got a little something for you. It's called the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Is that the way you're living life? Or does air make you lose your godliness? Do you become a little less God-fearing around your friends? Are you ashamed of following the dietary laws when everybody around you is not? See, Jesus is telling you to be salty. He's telling you to be the salt of the earth. Salt is pure. You're supposed to be pure. Over and over again, he talks about being pure. What does he mean by being pure? He means you live the way he told you to live in his word, and you don't deviate from it because you like it. Look, we all do what we like. That's one of the things about making your sin list. You've got to confront why you did it again this year. Come on now. I got my list made out. Kill anybody that makes a move for that briefcase, I'd quit. Be amazed how fast I come off this stage. Yeah, you say, hey, you see me coming too, man. You got to confront the problems in yourself when you sit down and you write a list of the things you did to transgress the covenant with God this year. You got to get real. That's being salty. You've got to get real. You know, it's easy to say, Lord, I repent, walk in and take the Passover. Oh, that's so easy in them dry, dead churches. It's another ball game, baby, to lay on your face in front of God with your Bible out and say, purge me, Lord, and make me clean, and mean it down to your toes. It's another thing to write with your hands what you've done wrong this year and fess it up to Him. That's a level of reality in getting right with the Lord that a lot of people aren't ready for. You know, we talked about the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's your sin list, baby. That's why it's so important for you to make it out in your own handwriting so He can nail it to the cross and take it away. But when you just want to skim over, you're leaving a lot of stuff unrepented. When you just want to skim over, oh Lord, I repent, what does that mean? It doesn't mean nothing. Because the word in Hebrew is teshuvah, means turn around and go back to God from where you came. And if you're not willing to write down and comb through your life about what you've done and face up to what you've done wrong and face up to the dirty dog we are most of the time, you're not going back to God. You're still walking away. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. I'm right. I don't do it wrong. Man, we're in a body of mud. Of course you do something wrong. When you get up in the morning, you do something wrong because you're made of mud. It's not the fact that you did something wrong. It's that we won't owe up to it and go back to God. It's the not owing up that's the problem. You think He's going to put you in a spirit body full of power like Jesus when you won't owe up to what you do wrong? That's the devil's problem. That's why God has an issue with the devil. That's why He made you flesh. He can't destroy the devil. He's got life in Himself. You're never going to have that until you can learn to face what you do wrong and admit it and go back to God. It's not the fact that you sin. It's the fact that we won't fess up when we sin. You don't got to fess up to anybody else, but you got to tell Him. Why do you got to tell Him? He saw it. He knows what you did. You think His eyes didn't see all that? You think He wasn't standing right there with you when you did all that? It's not in Him knowing. He already knows. It's in your admitting. You see, we're the ones with the pride issue where we don't want to admit what we've done wrong. That's where the rubber hits the road. That's getting salty for God. Luke 9. Luke 9 and verse 26. Some of these verses, if you will take these later and study and you will look at the context around them, you are going to see that my words are all the more true. I just didn't have time to go through every single thing in context today. Luke 9, verse 26. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I didn't write this book, y'all. These aren't the words of Schultz. I'm just telling you what he said. And those are red letters. He said, if you're ashamed of him and his words. Hey, we all got stuff in the Bible we don't like. Come on now, you hear me talk about it several times. Everybody's got something in the Bible we don't like. And you know who's going to get over it? We are. He's not going to get over any word he spoke. He's not going to say, oh, you are such an awesome person. I'm going to just let that slide for you. No, not going to happen, baby. Not going to happen. The Lord spoke it. We're going to get over our issue with it. You know why? Because we've got to learn who the boss is. Amen. And He's the boss and we're not. And when we can get that firmly fixed in our mind and get to the place where, hey, you the boss, I will do it. Then you're coming along. You're coming along on the road to getting salty. I tell you what, when you can lay on your face and worship, you're really getting salty. Kelly brought up the word worship. You just look up the word worship. Do a little word study in your concordance on the word worship sometimes. And almost every single one of those words means to either get on your knees or lay on your face. Oh, that's some hard right there. That's some hard. A lot of folks are too proud to bend those knees. How did Moses say the Ten Commandments? Do you think you got enough guards to make me bend my knees? But you know what? He has a little God encounter about four scenes later, and he's on his face, baby. Hey, Pharaoh's guards couldn't bend the knees of Moses, but a little encounter at the burning bush will make him lay on his face. Amen. Come on. You know, I can tell how much of God people have had in their life by how they worship. I can. I'm not talking junk. I'm not being ugly, but I can watch you in the worship if I am of mind to, and I can tell how much of God you've really encountered. Because the folks that have really seen His face, they're on the floor. They're all on the floor. Now, just because you're on the floor doesn't mean you've seen His face. But I'm telling you, everybody that's seen His face, they get on the floor. They don't want to play around. They got to have Him. God's the most addictive thing on planet Earth. Folks, I've had friends that get involved in crack cocaine tell me how addictive crack cocaine is. One of them had to be locked in his room till he got over it because it was so bad. Just tried it one time. But let me tell you something. You see the Lord Jesus? You touch Him? That is so addictive. Oh, that's so addictive. And you don't have to worry about any bad side effects. You don't have to worry about wrecking your finance over it. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to mistreat your wife and children. When you come into contact with Him on an intimate basis, you will be addicted and you will have to have it again. You will have to have Him more. You will be on your face begging, God, come and touch me again. I need it now. But you know what? It comes with all good things. It comes with all good things. Are you ashamed of Him? When your friends want to go the wrong way and do the wrong thing, are you ashamed of the words of Jesus? When your friends want you to break the Sabbath, are you afraid of them? Are you ashamed of Him? Oh, no, it's Shabbat. Forget it. We'll be there at sundown. Not a minute before. Why? Because you're not ashamed of Him and His words. You love Him and His words. Hey, I don't know about you. Life on planet Earth hasn't been all that good to me. I'm looking for reward in the kingdom of heaven. I'm looking for things to be good in the kingdom of heaven. They call me the greedy pastor because I am greedy for the things of God. When we are revealed with Him and His angels, I don't want to be at the back of the line. I don't want to be the doorkeeper in the kingdom of God. I've been a janitor here on earth. I don't want to be a janitor in the kingdom of God. Let some other fool have that doesn't know what he's talking about. I want to be somebody special in the kingdom of God. Huh? Come on now. I'm trying to lift your sights. I'm trying to get you to actually think about the fact that one day, maybe not too far off, you're going to be standing in front of Jesus. And what kind of reward will you have in His kingdom? Will it be the enter in? Yeah, go on in. Go on in. Just go on. Or is it going to be the, oh, look what I have for you, man. You've done so good. Are you going to be greedy like Pastor and want the big public display of affection at the Bema? Ah, Chelsea, my man! Ah, hey, y'all, Chelsea got in! Look at here! What do you want to see when you show up at the Bema Judgment? Do you really want God to look at you and be thinking something special because of your salty life on planet Earth? Or do you just rather fit in with all your buds and, yeah, here's your white robe. Go on in. Get. What do you want to see? Do you want to see His face beaming with excitement that you are coming up to the platform? Or do you just want that disgusted look? Yeah, all right, I paid for it. Go on in. What do you want at the Bema Judgment? Are you salty enough to get a reward? Are you salty enough to earn something good in the kingdom of God? Are you salty enough to have a crown of gold to throw at the Father's feet in worship? Or will you just be watching everybody else toss their crowns while you just stand there empty-handed? What's it going to be like in the kingdom? You see, it's so easy to stay focused on the things of this world and our temporary troubles and the little problems we got and all our little buds and stuff. We've got to get our mind off of the earth and into heaven where it belongs because it says our inheritance and our reward is in heaven, not on earth. What are you going to have? The stuff you got here ain't going with you, I can assure you. I've watched a lot of my relatives go in the box. They didn't bring nothing with them. What are you going to bring with you? What will be waiting on you in heaven when you get there? What kind of reward are you going to be walking around with in the kingdom of God? Can you have salt within yourself? Can you remain salty in the influence of others? Can you maintain your commitment to fearing God when everybody else around you is egging you on to break His commandments? Huh? It's not so much how you act when there's no heat on. It's how you act when you're in the fire and everybody's trying to get you the wrong way. When everybody's out there talking junk, are you letting it fly too, or are you holding your tongue? You know, if you can't make that strong stand for God, who will? If you, the Torah observant, Spirit-filled brethren, the salt of the earth, if you lose your saltiness, how you expect the non-salty people to be salty? How you expect what's not salt to get salty? Numbers 18. Verse 19. Whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your regular share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before Yahweh for both you and your offspring. An everlasting covenant of salt. Everybody wasn't called to be a priest, only the sons of Aaron. Everybody wasn't called to stand before God and minister to the people before Him, just the sons of Aaron. But I read where you were called to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a chosen generation. Are you taking your calling seriously? Do you stand before God to minister to the people? Or are you just going about your life totally not caring or thinking about a soul? You see, you were called to be a priest, a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests unto God to minister between God and the people. Are you doing that? He says it's an everlasting covenant of salt. Are you salty enough to do your job? Are you just living like everybody else? Everybody's not living up to being the salt of the earth. I know a lot of folks in a lot of different churches. Most of them are just going about their lives, just trying to get along and get by. Maybe get a retirement if they can squirrel away a little money. Maybe take care of their kids. Maybe help their kids to get into school if that's even possible. Just trying to pay a mortgage and the bills. Is that you? God called you to be a priest. That's what the Christian calling is. If you have Jesus living in you, you were called to be a priest unto God, ministering to the people around you. And if you're not doing that, you're not in that covenant of salt. You got no saltiness. If not you, who? If not now, when? The Lord's return is imminent. There's not going to be another generation raised up behind you. This is now or never. And you're going to stand up and get salty for Him, or you're going to be trodden underfoot. Well, look, I've read a lot of verses about the tribulation in the last couple of weeks, and trodden underfoot is not a good set of verses. And everything related to that phrase in the New Testament is talking about going into the great tribulation. I got one for you. Revelation 11 and verse 2. Measure the inner court. Count the worshipers in there, verse 1. But exclude the outer court. It will be trampled on by the Gentiles for 42 months. Okay, the folks who got enough of God's Spirit that can make it into the holy temple in heaven to worship God at His altar, they get counted. And Ephesians says, that's the Lord summing them up for the rescue. Oh, that's sweet. But those who are left trampled for the 42 months of the great tribulation. Because you wouldn't come in to worship. You wouldn't get salty for Him. You didn't love Him enough to be salty. So you lost your saltiness and now you're fit for nothing except to be trodden underfoot. He said another way to the Laodiceans, you're lukewarm. I would rather you be hot or cold. Why? I know friends that chose to be cold over that because he'd rather hot or cold. Cold is easy. I'm going to put you in the tribulation so you can learn how to get hot. Hot is easy. I'm taking you to be with me so that where I am you may be also. But those who are lukewarm,
I don't know what to do with you.
Look, I'm way off subject here, but when he vomits you out, it means you leave the body. Think about it for a minute. I mean, just think about it for a minute. You're in the body of Christ, then he vomits you out of the body of Christ. That's hard stuff, man. And you got to re-earn your place in there by giving your life up as a martyr. I didn't write this book. I'm just telling you what it says. I didn't write the book. I'm not nearly smart enough. But I can tell you this. If you lose your saltiness, you have a real problem. And it's a big one. And it ain't going to go away until you can get some salt in yourself. And he says, have salt in yourselves. That's why I tell people, you've got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not my Bible. I didn't make it up. I'm not the one that decided that, but he decided that for you. Because if you don't have that level of his Spirit living in you, you can't hold on to your saltiness. If you're not walking by the Torah and living the laws and the commandments, you can't hold on to your saltiness. What did Jesus say? To him who has, I will give more. But to him who has not, I will take away even what he has. I've got friends who are confronted with one side or the other that they don't have. And when they refuse God, they lose even what they started with. You've got to have salt within yourself. You've got to have salt within yourself. That means you've got to take into your heart of hearts that willingness and commitment to always fear Him and obey Him and to love Him. And you've got to reach out and take a hold of His hand and be filled with every drop of the precious Holy Spirit that you can talk Him into pouring into you. Why do I say it that way? Because it's not Him who doesn't want to give the Spirit to you. It's you that don't want to take the Spirit from Him. That'll preach all by itself. You know, the Spirit's been open to us to take. He said, the man that comes to Him, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And we only want it coming into us in drops. You don't get a river flowing out of you when you're only taking it in drops. To get a river going out, you've got to have a river coming in. And when all you want's a drop or two at a time, you ain't got no river. It's all soaked up in your dry, dead, parched heart. It's dry, that's it. You got to have a river coming in to have a river coming out.
Amen.
So, you've been called to live a life of saltiness before God. You know, you've been called by the Father and chosen by the Lord. Think about that for a minute. You were called by God. John 6:44, as Kelly pointed out last night, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him. But you know what? That wasn't enough. Because many are called, but few were chosen. So you've passed two steps of the way. But there's a third. Many are called. Few are chosen. But the ones who ride on white horses with Jesus when He comes out of heaven are called. Called, chosen, and faithful. And you've got to have that salt in yourself to make faithful. God did the calling. Jesus did the choosing. You got to do the faithful. Huh? He's brought you 2/3 of the way. You only got to hold on to what He gave you. Called, chosen, faithful. Faithful comes from your saltiness. Faithful comes from having that salt in yourself. While the sacred portions are not brought to you today the way they were the ancient priests, He's given you a sacred portion they didn't have. And that's Him. You have Him living in you. They didn't have that. They didn't even have access to that. The tree of life was closing off from the time of Adam and Eve's sin with a flaming cherub. But the door was open to you when you got baptized. The door was open to you to have that tree of life. Did you go in and eat of the fruit of the tree of life? Or were you like everybody else, scared to go in? Are you standing outside the gate still? Or have you been on your face in the throne room in heaven? It's a choice you get to make. And I know a lot of folks don't hear how to get in. But I'm telling you, the gates of heaven are wide open. Don't you know that when Jesus died, the veil was rent in two so you could go in and have access? Your hope in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is an anchor that goes behind the veil, living and sure. You can go in there and get on your face in front of your God who bought you back from death. But you have to want it. See, it gets back to that salty again. Because it's salty people that get to go in there. It's the folks that have the covenant of salt and who are priests that minister before Him that get to go in there. Are you willing to live the extra holy life of a priest? You know, the Israelites had to live one way, the Levites had to kick it up 20 notches, and the priests had to kick it up 40 notches in holiness in regard to the rules and regulations of how they had to carry their flesh. Are you ready to get salty for the Lord and live on that extra level? Or do you just want to be an ordinary person hanging out? Well, I got news for you. He's not rescuing ordinary people hanging out. He's coming to get His bride. Five of the bridesmaids have extra oil. And that represents extra Holy Spirit. So, are you going to make the cut? Matthew 5. And let's finish up his speech. Matthew 5, verse 14. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You're the light of the world. Are you a light to this world? Are you bringing the light of the knowledge of Yeshua Messiah to other people? Are you bringing the lamp of the Torah of God to a dark world to see what is right and what is wrong? Are you hiding it? It says men put a light on top of the lampstand, not under a bowl. Where's your light? Is it under a bowl? Are you shining the light of Jesus Christ into other people so that they can see Him? Or is it under a bowl because you're ashamed of Him? You don't really want people knowing that you're godly. Let's hide this over here. Somebody might get offended. Well, I got news for you. If you're being salty, if you're doing what God wants, other people are going to get offended at you. Amen. I got news for you. They're going to get offended at you real quick. But you've got to be salty enough to make that stand for God. Or else He's going to be ashamed of you when He comes with His angels. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I don't want Him to be ashamed of me. I want Him to be proud of me when I show up. I want Him to be able to say, my man, he went through some stuff, but he came through. Hey, look at Chelsea. He went through some stuff, baby, but he came through. Are you going through? Are you camping out in trouble? Are you going through? We all going to go through. Well, some of us go through. Some hit trouble and back up. Don't back up. You got to go through. You got to stay salty. You got to stay strong for God. You got to be willing to make a commitment for Him. You got to be willing to live for Him. You got to be willing to get on your face and worship Him. You got to be willing to be filled with His Spirit. You've got to lose your dignity to see His deity. You are not going to be proud in the house of God. You will be apostate prostrate in the house of God. You will lay down before Him. Every time the presence of God came and the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, they weren't standing there going, yeah. Had a little God in the house today, huh? No, everybody hit their faces, man, and were afraid to get up off the ground. I'm telling you, make war on the floor. It's where it's happening. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Your example, your conduct, your speech, your morality, your willingness to take a stand to be a God-fearer and live under the covenant of God. Your willingness to let folks know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And not be ashamed of it. You know, all sins are forgiven, men, including those against the Father and the Son. Only the sins against the Holy Spirit are not forgiven. Whoa, that's hard right there, man. I didn't write that. That wouldn't have been my first choice. But that was His choice. It's His sovereign choice. Sovereign means He's the only one with the power and the authority to make it real. So I can't change it because I don't like it. I have to change me to conform to His will. Not He is going to change His will to conform to my will. Because I don't care how strong my German carbon titanium stainless steel will is, it's going to bend for Him. You know what? And maybe I better be on there bending it too. You hear what I'm saying? Maybe I better be bending it before He has to bend it. Because I won't like it when He bends it. Now, that's a man talking from experience right there. Yeah, go up against God with your hard will and see how well it comes out. Let me tell you something. You'll be bending that thing yourself. You'll rent a crane if you have to bend it yourself to keep from Him bending it for you next time. Yeah, you'll learn to make that thing like a wet noodle in front of the Lord Jesus. Huh? My will is like a wet noodle. Whichever way you want to go, I'm happy. I'm happy. Not only that, I'm shouting happy. Not only that, but I am hallelujah shouting happy. Just any way you want it, Lord. Any way you want it. Because I tell you what, after two or three encounters of Him bending your will, the way you don't necessarily want it bent, you'll bend that will. You'll bend it quick. What's your example in front of people? He says, let your light shine that they may see your good deeds. What kind of good deeds do you have? He's not talking about charity. He's not talking about hospital visits. He's not talking about just being nice to people in the store. He expects that. As He said, when you've done those things, you're an unprofitable servant because you have only done your duty. Oh, that's some hard preaching right there, Brother Bill. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Your good deeds before men are your acts of living by the Torah. Your good deeds are your praying stuff through in the Holy Ghost. And people see the healing. People see the breakthrough. People see the deliverance. Notice I didn't put car payment in there. Let's see, we're messing this up. We need to take up a big Passover offering. Give me your Passover offering and a big seed, and we'll promise you the Lord going to pay your house off. Give me a house payment for Passover seed. No? No? That's not working? I tell you what, you better not show up without a clean heart. You better not show up with leavening in your life. You better have made an effort to dig through and comb through and straighten out your attitudes and your problems. Huh? We do it by making a sin list. I know everybody doesn't do it that way. But you know what? It works. We've been doing it now about 4 years. It works. It has brought us into a place of God encounters none of us could have dreamed about when we started this. How many of y'all have seen Jesus? Raise your hand. See what I mean? It's brought us into a place of God encounters we could not even understand before we started the process of really getting on our face and getting right with Him. I mean, really. You know, it's one thing to say it. It's easy to say it, isn't it? It's easy to come in for everybody and say, oh, I got my sin list, I'm all ready. It's easy to say that. What's hard is the time in private, digging through your life and fessing up to God, all that filth inside. Come on, I do it. I know you got it too. I ain't the only one up in here in a body of flesh. Ain't nobody else. Get that halo off your head. I know everybody got them horns underneath their hair. Come on now. Look, we're all in the same boat. Every one of us has got a life full of filth. And you know what? This is a way to get rid of it. This is a way to clean it. You got a janitor for a minister telling you how to clean the filth out of your life. Amazing how God works that way, isn't it? Ain't that cool? And not only that, but the whole leadership of this body is janitors. Oh, isn't that special? We know how to clean the filth out of your life. But we can't clean the filth out of your life. We can only show you how to that you can take it out of your life. The only person I can clean up is me. That's why we talked about don't judge other people or to start the whole process off. It's easy to see the logs in somebody else's eye and talk junk about it. Oh, that person right there. I know they better have this and such on their sin list because I know they got that. But you know what? Maybe we just need to get the chainsaw out and cut that redwood forest off our face first. Amen. We got so many. Hey, we need to get the logging equipment out because we got some planks, man. We got some lumber. We're gonna make some money down at Bruce Hardwood because we can cut enough trees and mill enough lumber to pay for the rest of the year just in our own life. Amen. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. Man, look, we gotta. If we spend the rest of our life worrying about cleaning up our own life, we're going to be good and busy till the Lord gets back. Good and busy. You will not have time to trifle and do a lot of the weird stuff we do. I want you to look at this. You think what I've been telling you is junk. He said deeds before men. I said that's Torah observance, right? What's the next verse say? Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. So what do they do? They all say he abolished the law and the prophets. He said, do not think I've come to do that. So they all preach that like it's the truth. Do not think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish the law of the prophets. But to show you how it's done. That's what the Greek means in Southern. To show you how it's done. The Greek word that's translated fulfilled there does not mean finished. It means example. I've come to be your example of how to live the Torah. Like I said in Southern, it means to show you how it's done. He came to show us how to live the Torah. He came to show us how to walk in God's commandments perfectly. And you know when he's looking at you? He's saying, if I live in you, I can walk it out in your life the same as I walked it out in mine. How much of Jesus is in you? That's why I say you've got to have the full baptism of the Holy Spirit and not the seed of getting saved. Because you've got to have the full Jesus living in you. Because you can't walk the Torah out, but he can. You can't live right by his laws and commandments, but he can live it right through you. If you'll just get up out of his way and let him do what he needs to do, he'll make your life righteous and full of himself. He'll make your life salty. Oh, you won't like everything he does. You won't like every place he goes. And it'll be your best friend he rubs the wrong way. Amen. But I can tell you this. If you'll get out of Jesus' way and let him live your life, he'll take that broken, ramshackle, dilapidated piece of stuff you call life, and he'll give you a life worth living. He'll give you a life that you'll want to hold on to when it comes time to die. He'll give you a life that'll feel good. He'll give you a life full of power and victory and joy in the Holy Ghost. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, that's a Hebrew yod, it looks like an apostrophe, nor the slightest embellishment, that's what a tittle is, a tittle's the little curves that they wing out on the little block letters, not the slightest embellishment of a Hebrew letter will in any wise pass from the law until it's all accomplished. Okay, well, I've read my Bible through, and the end of chapter 22, we ain't seen that yet. It ain't all accomplished yet. Matter of fact, we ain't even got to chapter 19 in Revelation, so how do we talk about it all? It's all accomplished, therefore the law's done away. The fat lady ain't sung. You know what? God is so poetic, and he is so just and so right, I would almost bet a $100 bill Ethel Merman will sing the last song before he goes on to the next stage. I would almost bet $100 right now. Because that's, I know my God, that's how he is. Because we always say, it ain't finished till the fat lady sings, right? That's who they were talking about. So I would almost bet $100 Ethel Merman will close it out. Okay, Ethel, sing, baby. It's the last song. You know, I gave it to you last night. Sing it close. We're going to start something new. Huh? Because we've all said, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. Right? God is so good. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments. Oh, the least ones? The little trifling ones? The ones that don't matter? Oh, it's a few bacon bits in the salad. No big deal. Oh, nobody's paying attention. This gets unleavened bread. It doesn't matter if I have leavening. If you break the least of these commandments, the least, and teach others to do the same thing, then you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. You get to be the janitor. I don't care how great you are on planet earth. You teach that his laws are done away, you better get your hands ready for the bowl mop, baby, because you're going to have it a long time. Huh? This is a temporary life. It's over after a generation, but the kingdom of heaven lasts forever. You just get your hand fitted to it, and you're going to have it a long time. You're going to get ready for the little dustpan and broom, because you're going to be the one sweeping up the trash. Just get ready to open the door for everybody. Because you're going to be doing it a long time in the kingdom of heaven, baby. Because he says if you teach men the law is done away, you're going to be least in the kingdom of heaven. But look at what greedy pastor gets. But whoever practices, and ask anybody at my house, they'll tell you, I live it. I'm not up here just talking junk. I live it at home. Is that right, Miss Bev?
Amen.
And teaches these commands And y'all know I teach Torah observance in every message. You know, if Christ crucified, I'm up here talking about the Torah still in effect. I mean, it's every message with me, okay? Why? Because if I do this, I'll be called great in the kingdom of God. I want to be somebody in the next world. I'm tired of being nobody here, but that's okay for today. I'm gunning for something good. If I teach and practice the commandments of God, I will be called great in the kingdom. Hey, I like them odds. I like them odds a lot. For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. I want in. Their law keeping was an outward, hollow show before men to be seen by men as righteous and lifted up and looked up to by men. They weren't in it for God. They weren't salty. It was all a hollow show. So that people would say, oh, so-and-so, the great Pharisee. Oh, so-and-so gives so much at the temple. Why do they even know how much he gave the temple? Because they're making a show over it. Blow the trumpet over my offering. And I don't mean the righteous way. I mean they had trumpeters walking before them to show they were bringing something in the temple. God said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing when it comes to your giving. Why? Because you want your reward in the kingdom of heaven. If you get your reward today, you got no reward there. If someone says, oh, so-and-so gave this huge offering, you ought to be cringing going, man, why'd you do that? Shut up! Me telling nobody what I did. Why? Because you want your reward in heaven, not here. You want everybody to go, oh, so-and-so made it all possible. Now, everybody likes a thank you on occasion. All right, so I try to give those. But I try to keep from killing your reward in the kingdom of heaven. Because I'm not trying to kill you there. I want you to have reward in the kingdom of heaven. Don't you understand? I'm a pastor. The more reward you got, the more reward I got. If you become somebody great and salty and on fire for God and do great works for Him, I get a little piece of that. So I wish somebody wanted to do the Amway plan up here. It's multi-level marketing. Don't you understand? Paul is reaping harvest and will all the way till the end, baby. And he's been dead for 2,000 years. But we're reading Paul's letters and we're preaching Paul's words and it's affecting more and more people. And the more it goes out, the more reward. He's still building reward in the kingdom of heaven. So if I preach real good to you today and you feel the move of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and you decide, I'm going to go out and be salty. I'm not going to be ornery, but I'm going to be salty. I'm not going to go out and do it of my own flesh and make them mad. Some of us would take no effort at all for that. But I'm just going to let my good deeds rub them the wrong way if they're not moving with God. I'm not going to have to rub it in their nose. I'm just going to be who I am. Believe me, it'll do it plenty well enough. But I'm going to be salty. They come up and want me to do stuff on Sabbath, I'm going to tell them no. They want me to break the holiness, I'm going to tell them no. They offer me the ham sandwich, that's all right, I don't want it, no. Oh, come on, it's good. No, that's all right, just put the thing in the trash. When it comes time for my paycheck, I'm whipping them tithes out and I'm paying them because I'm salty. People say, how can you give all that money away? Well, hey, God gave me the whole check. I guess I can give Him His 10 cent back. He keeps sending the dollars. I guess I can keep sending Him the 10 cents, amen. I mean, he's pretty nice. I mean, when I'm, at least I tell you, when I'm your partner, I want half. I ain't taking less than half. How's that? When I'm your partner in business, I'm taking half. God becomes your partner in business and He only asks for 10 cents. That's a bargain of a lifetime. The Almighty Creator God's your partner in business and you only got to give Him a dime on a dollar? What's not to like, man? Because I'm taking 50 cents straight out. Be salty in your life. When your friends want to do the things that friends do and they're opposing it. No, I'm not going to do that. No, I ain't doing that. And they all get it talking about the little things they get into. No, I got to go. Be salty, man. Be salty. They ought to be talking about you when you walk up. They ought to be talking about you when you walk up. And not because you've been obnoxious with the gospel, but just because you won't budge with regard to sin. Believe me, that'll make them talk about you real fast. Real fast. They'll be talking about you when you come up and you ought to hear them talking about you when you walk away. Why? Because you're salty. Because Jesus is going to take out the salt of the earth before He offers this earth to God. Great Heavenly Father, we just do come before Your throne. We thank You. We praise You. I do just ask that You quicken this message into the heart of every person. That You stir the spirit of every person who hears this message on tape or in the audience. That every one of them will want to be the salt. That You would give them that deep gnawing love of You. Your awesomeness, Your majesty, Your reverence. That You will give every person that hears this message the strong, overwhelming desire to be intimate with You. In Your holy and righteous name, B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.